Welcome to Nye's Notes. I'm Jerry Nye, the Bible Guy. Going to be continuing our study in Romans chapter 8. I said last time, if you could restrict preachers to teaching and preaching out of one book in the Bible, they could only use one book, what would they choose? Probably most of them would choose the book of Romans. And chapter 8 is the highlight, is the classic chapter of this book. So I'm in Romans chapter 8, verse 2 today. Here's the verse. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Verse 1 tells us there's no more condemnation for sin. Now verse 2 is saying no more control by sin. Three laws are mentioned here. The law of life in Christ Jesus, the law of sin, the law of death, the authority that sin has over the old nature, a carnal nature, a Adamic nature. At salvation, a new law comes in. Now here's an illustration. Picture a coin falling to the ground under the pull of gravity. The coin has no power to overcome gravity. An arm reaches out and holds the coin, then lifts it higher in defiance of gravity. This doesn't mean there's no law of gravity anymore. It doesn't cease to exist. But it does mean that a higher law comes into force. The coin enjoys a new freedom because it experienced a new force, a higher law. The law of sin and the law of death, the law condemns. But now the believer has a new relationship with the law. It cannot be condemned. Three statements about the believer and the law. Number one, the law cannot claim you. Verse 2. You've been made free from the law. You now have the life in the Spirit. You now have a whole new life in Christ. You are now dead to the law and free from the law. The law of sin and death, not the Levitical law. Now we're talking about the moral law, the civil law, the criminal law, but we're talking about a new life in Christ. The other two statements will become later when we get to verse 3 and verse 4. We sin by nature because we're victims of the fall of man and have a sin nature. It's imputed to us. But in Christ Jesus, we have a higher law, the law of life in Christ Jesus, verse 2. This higher law sets us free from the lesser laws of sin and death. In the illustration, the coin has no will of its own, but we do. At salvation, our will commits to God's will, surrenders to God's will. It is impossible for us to miss the freedom from sin by disbelief or disobedience. Unbelief is the worst and most tragic sin in the Bible. Hebrews 3:19, so we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. They could not enter in because of God's rest, unbelief. It was impossible for the law to produce righteousness in man. Now, no fault in the law, but fault in man, because in keep it. It was perfect, and man isn't. In chapter 7, we see the believer trying to live a righteous life through obedience to the law. It can't happen. In chapter 8, we see the believer is discovering that deliverance is through the Holy Spirit dwelling within him. 1 John 4:4, let me read this verse. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The Holy Spirit within us is more powerful and stronger than the spirit of Satan without. Only through the Holy Spirit do we have victory over the law of sin and death. Verse 2 says, made me free. Only through the Holy Spirit do we have this freedom. The word free means here once and for all, forever. Our new life in Christ brings a new force, the power of the Spirit that frees us from the power of sin forever. Being in Christ, we are free. Here it is again. Being in Christ, we're free. There's no condemnation because Christ died for us. We have no defeat because the Spirit of God indwells us. No fear because God has become a Father to us. No despair, because our sufferings are for his glory. No adversary, because God is for us. Who can be against us? No separation, because God in Christ loves us. Wow, what a great verse. I'm free. Now let's look at verse 3 and verse 4 of chapter 8. Let me read it. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh. Verse 4. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. After the Spirit, a freedom from judgment. Freedom from judgment. Being in Christ breaks sin's control. God gives us freedom from sin, not freedom to sin. What the law could not do. Three things the law could not do. It couldn't produce in man obedience to keep the law. No one could obey the law. It was perfect. Number two, it couldn't produce justification. Romans 3:20, therefore by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. Number three, it couldn't produce righteousness in man. Hey, the law can't claim you. Verse 2, you're made free from the law of sin and death. The law can't condemn you. In verse 3, Christ suffered our condemnation for you, in our place, our substitute. The law could not save, only condemn. God sent his Son to save us and do what the law could not do. He came as a man, not an angel. He did not come as sinful flesh, for what would make him a sinner? And he'd be disqualified of a Savior. He didn't have any sinful flesh. He came in the likeness of sinful flesh as man, in the likeness, but not sinful. Weak through the flesh. The law itself was not weak, but it was powerless to account of the flesh. The law was holy, just, and good, but the flesh was not subject to it. It was weak. How could sinful flesh obey a holy law and sinless law? So what the law could not do, Almighty God did do. He sent his Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. He was like us in all nature, except he was without sin and for sin, by a sacrifice for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. He caused it to lose its power over man. Being in Christ breaks sin's control over us. He was put to death in our place in order that the righteousness of God demanded by the law might be fulfilled in the believer. He came in the likeness of sinful flesh so he could condemn sin in the flesh. Here's the third point. The law can't claim you. The law can't condemn you. Number three, the law can't control you. Verse 4. The believer is declared righteous, not in the power of the law, but in the power of the Holy Spirit. That righteousness was imputed to us. Remember the doctrine of imputation? Threefold. When Adam and Eve sinned, a sin nature was imputed to all mankind. Those beautiful little babies born have a sinful nature inside. The second point, when Christ went to the cross, died for our sin was imputed to him. And now the third one, when we get saved, when somebody gets born again, God's righteousness is imputed to them. Declared righteous, not in the power of the law, but in the power of the Holy Spirit. There's never been a human being who lived free from sin's power until Jesus came. His life broke sin's principle, and his death broke his power. Here's a great thought. Some believe that when you get saved, God gives you power to overcome. He does not. We don't have that power. If he did, we would get self-righteous and proud. God comes in us and overcomes sin as we yield to him. Philippians 2:13, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and do of his good pleasure. He does this so that our praise is on him and not on us. We can't live a righteous life, not in the power of the law, but in the power of the Holy Spirit. We can do it that way, but not in the power of the law. The indwelling Holy Spirit enables us to walk in obedience to the Word of God and the will of God. The legalist tries to obey God in his own strength and fails. The legalists believe obeying the law redeems them. It's not so. The Spirit-led Christian life yields to the Lord and experiences God's help over sin. This fact leads us to another freedom. Verse 5. Look at verse 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Verse 3 and verse 4 gives us freedom from judgment. Being in Christ breaks sin's control. Verse 5 is freedom from defeat. Being in Christ brings spiritual control. There are two kinds of people, lost and saved. Paul is contrasting the lost and the saved. There are four contrasts to consider. Number one, a contrast between the flesh and the spirit. The unsaved person does not have the Spirit of God. Romans 8:9, the difference. One has the Holy Spirit and one doesn't. If he lives in the flesh and for the flesh, do mind the things of the flesh. The carnal mind is the only interested in things like business, making money, entertainment, earthly pleasures. Nothing wrong with these things if they're not your first priority in life, if they're not your little g God. The Christian life has the Spirit of God in it and lives an entirely different lifestyle. This doesn't mean that the lost person doesn't ever do anything good or the saved person doesn't ever do anything bad. There are two kinds of Christians, the carnal Christians and spiritual Christians. We have a choice. All who profess do not possess. Remember I said most churches are three kinds of people, believers, non-believers, and make-believers. Those who are only professors walk after the flesh, and those who possess walk after the Spirit. a contrast between death and life in verse 6. Here's verse 6. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. The second contrast between death and life. The unsaved person is alive physically, but dead spiritually. Two kinds of death, spiritual death, spiritual death. He does not respond to spiritual things of God. He may be moral, may be a religious person, but lacks spiritual life. To be carnally minded is to have your life dominated by the sin nature. Sad to say that even Christians can be carnally minded. To be spiritually minded is to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5:18, a very great verse, well-known verse, a command verse. And be not drunk with wine, one's excess, but be filled with the Spirit. The unsaved person needs spiritual life in Christ Jesus. Being in Christ brings spiritual control. Being lost brings only control of the flesh. The third contrast, a contrast between war with God and peace with God. In Romans 7, we see that the old man, the old nature, rebels against God and will not submit to God. Those who have trusted Christ have peace with God, chapter 5, verse 1, while the unsaved are at war with God still. Isaiah 48:22 says, there is no peace, saith the Lord, unto the wicked. A contrast between struggling and surrendering. A contrast between pleasing God and pleasing self. Wow. To be in the flesh means to be lost. The lost person lives to please himself and rarely thinks about pleasing God. My will and only my will. Who are we pleasing? Who do we want to please? Are we like Paul in chapter 7, verse 15? Here's the verse. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. Do we have the same problem Paul does? We know to do right sometimes. We find ourselves not doing right, but doing wrong. The flesh will always be the flesh. God has no program to change the flesh. We can't overcome the flesh, but we can turn it over to someone who can. He brings in something new, a new life in Christ. With this new life in Christ, we have the person in us who can overcome our flesh, the Holy Spirit. When we yield to Him, when we obey Him, when we follow Him, we can crucify the flesh daily. Galatians 5:24, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. In Christ, saved, born again. Going to stop right here. Next lesson we'll pick up in verse 9. God bless you, friend. Hope you like this. Share it with other people. Subscribe to it. And we'll see you next time. Until then, keep looking up. God loves you.